Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad you joined me. We're going to look at some things going on around us, and then we'll be continuing our study of the Old Testament in 2017 here on Mornings for the Master. And today we are going to be looking at the 33rd and 34th Psalms as we look at authority administered. But before we do that, we do want to draw attention to our bulletin board this morning. And the Northeast Texas Summer Youth Series is now underway. And the theme this year is not just children's stories. It began Monday evening at the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant, Texas. The topic of David and Goliath. It will continue this coming Monday, June 12th, in Blossom, Texas. And for more information, you can contact Brother Evan Butler there at 903-517-2807. That's Monday evenings here in the summer, and this coming Monday will be at Blossom on June the 12th. Other dates coming soon will be June 19th in Maud, Texas, the Tower of Babel and the Rebels. June 26th in Fulbright, Sodom and Gomorrah. There will be a break July the 3rd, and then July the 10th at Broken Bow, Oklahoma, Noah and the Ark. July the 17th in New Boston, Jacob and the Angel. July 24th at University in Tyler, Daniel and the Lion's Den. July 31st in Atlanta, Samson and Delilah, and on August the 7th in Mount Vernon, Jonah and the Great Fish, and then the series will conclude August 14th at Oak Grove. This will be at 7 p.m. every Monday evening. Also want to remind you about Camp Ida that is going on right now. Right now they are in the middle of Session 1. And Session 2 will be beginning Sunday. And Camp Ida is a Christian youth camp where the motto is growing in wisdom and stature. Camp Ida is overseen by the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. And the camp is located in Maud, Texas. And for more information, you can contact Camp Director Richard Rutledge here of the Gospel Radio Network at 903-434-3072. Beginning Sunday will be Session 2. The director is Ross Hafner. The theme is Knowing God. You can reach Brother Hafner at 940-329-0882. Session 3 is directed by John McCormack. And this year's theme is The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. You can reach Brother McCormack at 417-217-0329. That's 417-217-0329. Session 4 is the leadership session directed by J.J. Hendricks. And you can reach Brother Hendricks at 682-201-7337. That'll be June 25th. Through the 30th, and Session 5, directed by Brian Braswell, with the theme of Christian character. You can call 501-732-6223 for more information about Session 5. So make plans to attend one of the remaining sessions at Camp Ida, located near Maud, Texas. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ is hosting its summer series. And this year's theme is the Book of Hebrews. Our next our first lesson was yesterday evening with Brother Kevin Cawley, who spoke on Hebrews 1. And this coming Wednesday night, June the 14th, the topic will be Hebrews chapter 2. And the speaker will be Marco Arroyo from the University Congregation in Tyler, Texas. So make plans to attend. Also, coming up a little further down the road, June 21st, Hebrews 3, Speaker Nat Ayers from the Broadway Congregation in Tyler, Texas. June 28th, Hebrews 4 with Anthony Warren speaking from Broken Bow, Oklahoma. In the month of July, the speakers will include John McCormick, Jim Laws, Chris Groda, and J.J. Hendricks. And in the month of August, Andy Baker, Jeff Blanton, Phil Hancock, Brian Bordeaux, and Neil Thurman. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ is located at 708 West Main Street in Mount Vernon, Texas. For more information, contact us at 903-537-4129. That's all we have on our bulletin board this morning. If you have an event coming up in your area, let us know about it so we can help you get the word out here on Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Now let's turn our attention to God's Word and our lesson today as we are now moving through the Psalms. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 33 and Psalm 34. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. His people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. This psalm begins as the psalmist looks to the Lord and sings his praise. Again, we go back to verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. We are to rejoice in the Lord. Paul said to rejoice in the Lord always. Notice that this is not praising to the Lord, but in the Lord. We can forget too easily all the good that God has done and is doing in our lives, and we can become pessimistic, cold-hearted, angry, or depressed people. But such attitudes do not display the love of Christ and the grace of God in our lives. This psalm will go about explaining and showing more reasons why we ought to always be joyful in the Lord. We should have an attitude of thanksgiving in our worship. The people are encouraged to participate in worship in verse 2 with the instrument and the voice. We must remember that the instrument was permitted during the Old Testament period. Our worship must also consist of giving thanks to God. To give thanks to the Lord is to praise and worship the Lord. A new song seems to give the idea of giving of praise and honor, and a renewed perspective of God's greatness. God will do something great, such as answer prayer or deliver, and a new song will then be encouraged from the worshiper. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, "And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." This new song seems to show a renewed awareness of God's power and greatness as the Lamb is able to take and to open the scroll. We continue in verse 4 as we see the Lord and His power. "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Verses 4 through 9 describe the power of the Lord. But the power of the Lord is described through the word of the Lord. Verse 4 tells us that the word of the Lord is upright. The word of the Lord does not cause evil. The word of the Lord is righteous, and all the work of the Lord is faithful. The word of the Lord is in keeping with God's character. Unlike humans, whose words often do not match their character, when we speak with lies, hypocrisy, and malice, God's words cannot be anything but the revealing of His character. Therefore, through God's word, we see His love for righteousness and His love for justice. The word of the Lord reveals the steadfast love of the Lord throughout all the earth. God works through His words. God does not have to lift a finger to accomplish any task. God merely says the word, and His will is accomplished. Consider the creation of the world. Did God have to perform any action? No. God simply said what He desired, and it came into being. And this thought leads us then to these next few verses. The visible power of God's word can be seen in verses 6 and 7. "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." Just imagine the power for someone to accomplish something simply by saying, "Let there be light," or "Let us make man in our image." The visible creation testifies to the great power of God's word. Verse 7 describes more of the power of God's word. God can gather the waters of the sea and place them in a heap. God can gather the water and place it in storehouses. And thus, verse 8 and verse 9 call us to stand in awe of God. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The psalmist declares that all the earth should fear the Lord and stand in awe of Him. How can we not stand in awe and fear the power that is able to speak and have things come into existence? When God speaks, things happen. There is no doubt concerning God's Word. The Word of God is not empty. It will not return unto Him void. When the Word of the Lord goes out, what is said will certainly take place. The next section of verses, beginning in verse 10 through 19, deal with the Lord and His providence. Verses 10 through 12 show us that God rules over the nations. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance. In verse 10 there, we read about an active God working against the nations of the world. The nations make their plans and attempt to achieve their foolish goals, but the Lord brings their plans to nothing. How often the nations are going against the will of God, and yet they believe that they can accomplish their own will. God rules the nations and will frustrate their plans. Our leaders need to take notice and realize, but sadly, this has not been the case for many years. We forget that God is at work among the nations. We think things are happening only by the will of man, instead of realizing that the events of this world are through the hand of God. We are to submit ourselves to civil authority. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." Verse 11 shows God's plans will be carried out to all generations. And now the reward for the wise can be found in verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance." The morality of a nation matters to God. Who we choose to be our leaders matters to God. We are sadly mistaken if we think the workings of our government are inconsequential to God. A nation will not be blessed by the Lord when God is not their Lord. The decline of our country is proportional to our departure from God. Indeed, we see that God is the true sovereign, beginning in verse 13. "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. The Lord is looking down from heaven, and he sees all our actions. The one who created each of us is watching all of our deeds. The nation is not saved by their own actions. The king is not saved by a great army. The soldier is not delivered by his own strength and wits. By implication here, God is declaring that he is the one who is overseeing and taking care of the nation. America can only be great again by turning to God individually and collectively and making God our leader and our ruler again. Then we will choose leaders who will seek the will of God in ruling over us. Verses 18 and 19, and we see a little bit of the relationship between the Lord and his people. And we see the fear of the Lord here, the importance of that. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And so the psalmist ends the psalm with a four-part admonition to the worshipers. The first admonition here is to fear the Lord. Psalm 32 in verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. This admonition also restates verse 8. We must have a respect and awe of the Lord because of the power of his word. We must always respect the words of God because of the sureness of his words. When God says something, it will take place, and it certainly will happen. Verse 20 instructs us to wait for the Lord. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So the second admonition is to wait for the Lord. Have patience in the power of God. God is our help, and God is our shield. But that protection requires personal patience. God is the powerful creator, and our lives are in his hands. The psalmist declares that he and the people of God have every reason to be confident in the Lord. God is their help and is their shield, and God will not let them down. Verse 21 points out that our trust is in his holy name. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Our trust in the Lord should bring us gladness. We can trust in the authority and the power of God to be with us and to watch out for us. Verse 22 points to our hope that is in the Lord. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Finally, we are able to place our hope in the Lord. There is no reason to lose heart with God. There is no reason to give up in our prayers. There is no reason to think that God cannot change the hard times we may go through. There is never a reason to give up. Our hope is in the Almighty God. And let us always put our trust in God, no matter the circumstance, and wait for God to help us. And now we move to Psalm 34, one of my favorite psalms, as we look at God's protection of his people. Brother Tom Wacaster, in his excellent book on the Psalms, outlined this psalm as such: praise, provision, precepts, providence, and protection. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The psalmist said that I will bless the Lord at all times. Not just the good times, but when whatever situation a man finds himself in, be it good times or bad times, in times of sadness or joy, richness or poor, sickness or health, man is to bless the Lord, for indeed the Lord is good. Even in times of trouble, times of suffering, recall that God told Paul that his grace was sufficient concerning the thorn in his flesh. He said that his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That is the life that a Christian should be living. A faithful Christian is going to be continuous in prayer and praise and worship. He's going to bless the Lord at all times because of whatever situation he's in, the Lord is good. Our praise to the Lord shall be continual. It should be the dominating part of our life. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. We will not center our life on the approval of men. We will not waste our life in pursuit of wealth. We will not spend our time seeking the notoriety of men. But we'll be like the apostles. And the only boasting that we need to be doing is that which is in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You see, the haughty or the proud or the arrogant, they seek their own. But the humble, these are the ones that desire God. They desire his will and to live it. The arrogant and the prideful will do just the opposite. They will seek the own desires of their flesh. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We need to live our lives in such a way that we glorify God, that he is magnified by the lives we lead. Living in a way to make him more beautiful to others. Of course, his beauty, his majesty, his glory is perfect. And nothing we can do can change that. But we should seek to help others to see that. And so here David desires for us to join him in magnifying the name of God. And we can do that today as New Testament Christians through faithfulness. Our faithful attendance in the worship, our faithful living on a daily basis. Indeed, God is worthy of praise, and all who follow God should join together in praise to him. We see God's provisions in verses 4 through 10. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. David realized that God had delivered him many times. Here, more specifically, Abimelech. That God had delivered him from his fears. You see, the coward has no place in the kingdom of heaven. David had removed fear from his life by his faithfulness. Certainly it took great courage to go and to stand against Goliath. God is the one who can deliver us from fear. God is greater than any fear you may have. Why then are we prone to act so fearful and cowardly at times? They looked unto him and were lightened. They were lightened by God delivering them from fear. Fear is a heavy load to carry. There is a great distinction when we look at a person of confidence and one who is fearful. Jesus told us to come unto him. What are we waiting for? And their faces were not ashamed. Isn't it wonderful that the man who puts his trust in the Lord will never have to be ashamed of his faith? He can stand in any situation. It is the realization and belief in Matthew 28:20, when Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. David was poor here because he was persecuted and afflicted. His life was in turmoil. Maybe not monetarily, but in every other way that would invoke one's pity. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." God hears the prayer of his people, and he blesses those who seek him in spirit and in truth. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him." The Lord's limitless protection is upon his people. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 reminds us that all things work together for good. Indeed, we can trust that the Lord will protect from all spiritual harm, and that is a far greater thing to fear than the protection of your mortal body, which is here but such a short time. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." One must taste or experience the joys of living in the Lord. We can only truly appreciate it when it is experienced. I can talk to you about the joys of my wife's cooking, but you would have to experience it to know the joy of it. The blessings and the protection of the Lord must be experienced to appreciate. And then once it's tasted, it is truly addicting. But it only comes from the true study of the Word and prayer and reflection upon it. Oh, the life of a Christian, that great and perfect life, full of the blessings of the Lord. There is nothing that can compare to that. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. What a great place to be. When we can reach the point that we no longer look to material things for our happiness and fulfillment. King David understood that being over the entire kingdom of Israel was no blessing without dwelling in God. Oh, what about those who seek after power and fame today? A constant searching and hungering for what they cannot obtain. There will only be dissatisfaction in such. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, those, there is no want to them that fear him. David knew that God would never forsake those that follow him. When man has found trouble through the years, it is always brought about by his departure from God, not God departing from his people. Psalm 35 and verse 25, let them not say in their hearts, ah, so we would have it. Let them not say we have swallowed him up. His grace is sufficient and he will supply our needs. But we must not confuse our desire with our needs. And we must remember, as we read in Ecclesiastes, that our only reason of being, our all, is simply to fear God and keep his commandments. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want of any good things. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Indeed, the faithful and mature Christian will remember that all things work together for good according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We see the precepts or laws and the importance beginning in verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and approve it. David invites the younger people to come and to let him teach them the ways of the Lord. It is important that we develop that type of attitude as we grow older. We need to be willing to teach the ways of the Lord to others. Hopefully we have been like Ezra, as we read about in Ezra 7:10. Hopefully at an earlier point in time, you set about to learn the laws of the Lord. And then you proceeded upon learning it to keep it. And now if you have done those things, it is time for you to impart your wisdom and experience concerning the Lord to the younger, to teach them, to increase their awareness, to make them appreciate and grow in their love for the Lord. We will be able to relate to them about our tasting of the Lord. The proverb writer said to train up a child in the way of the Lord, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Why are we losing so many of our children today from the faith? The blame lies with us, for we have failed to instill in them the ways of God. We have not heeded the words of Deuteronomy chapter 6. We've not taught them to hunger for God's word. Instead, we've been too concerned with getting ahead in the world around us instead of focusing our primary importance on the things which pertain to eternal life. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? The question is asked, of course. Everyone would want this, but who do we know that would desire a short life? David said to keep the tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. If you want to have a long life, one of the first things you need to do is get control of your tongue. James 3:6 pointed out that the tongue is a little fire, a world of iniquity. It defiles the whole body. It sets one on a course for hell. We can have instead the life of abundance that Jesus spoke of, even back in those in the days of our old age. We can have it, not just a mere existence. We must not speak with evil, for it will certainly come back to haunt you. Beware, your sin will find you out. But instead, speak honestly and truthfully. For much greater stress comes about when a lie comes home to roost. As you cover up with denials, gossip and rumor abound. But instead, we can live at peace and live contentedly when our words are upright. David told us to depart from evil and do good, to seek peace and pursue it. This is another instruction from David in order to have a long life. Paul said we must abstain from every form of evil, and we must run as Joseph did, away from evil. We will live by the fruit of the Spirit and not by evil works. And now we see the role of God's providence in our lives, picking up in verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. God looks upon those who live righteously. Recall the old hymn we sometimes sing. There is an all-seeing eye watching you. But we can take comfort from that fact, that even though men may do us wrong, God will never fail us, and his eyes are upon us. And the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God turns to the righteous, but he turns away from the evil. God had to turn away from the cross at that sixth hour when Jesus bore all of our sins upon that cross. God will bless the righteous, and he will cut off the one who disobeys. Recall Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. He will cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Proverbs 10 and verse 7 says that the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Brother Barnes noted that one of the blessed privileges of being Christian is that of prayer. It may be true that no one has ever yet fully appreciated the privilege of being permitted to call upon the will of God. Brother Waycaster noted that our lives would be utterly miserable were there no God to whom we could bring our petitions. It is a tragedy that so many members of the Lord's body never take advantage of the power that is available to them through prayer. Verse 18 noted that a broken heart is one that has broken their own will, like breaking a horse. We kill the old man and we begin to live for God as we come out of the waters of baptism. That old man has been buried, and we are rising to walk in newness of life. We know the effect of prayer. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, according to James 5:16. And we humble ourselves. He loves those of a contrite spirit and a humble heart. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:3, the poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And finally, we see God's protection. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Eternity is a place for the faithful, those who will spend eternity in heaven, where there are no wounds, there's no scars, there's no crying. The internal man, the real self, will be saved. Remember that righteousness exalts a nation and prolongs life. Unrighteousness destroys and shortens days. Again, Brother Tom Waycaster said that unfortunately there always exists that element that hates all that is good and right. It is difficult to imagine someone actually hating a righteous individual. But such has been the case from the very moment when Cain slew his brother Abel, for no other reason than the fact that Abel's works were righteous. But such hatred will not go unpunished, and in the end all haters will have their share in the lake of fire. They'll be condemned. But verse 22 pointed out that the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How beautiful that that promise still exists today. So as we think about this psalm, we will remember to bless the Lord, whatever our state in life is. Whatever trial we face or whatever blessing we receive, we'll bless the Lord. And that God is faithful to us when we are faithful to Him. He gives us all we need. We must control our tongue and put away the old man and live humbly and righteous before our God and draw near to Him. Hope you've enjoyed our time together this morning. I know that you've been an encouragement to me. I hope that you'll stay tuned for all the programs through the day here on the Gospel Radio Network. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this time. So until then, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.